talking about faith and what it is to walk by faith and the courage to walk by faith. So this morning we're going to be in Romans chapter 4 and looking at the life of Abraham. But before we get there, let me talk to you a little bit about this word faith. My family and I were traveling not too long ago, and as we boarded the plane in Chicago to come back to the Tri-Cities with our three kids, all under the age of 6, I knew I'd have plenty of time to kick back in my airplane seat and relax, enjoy the flight. And so I have a habit, maybe, of pulling out those in-flight magazines. And SkyMall's defunct, so there's no more SkyMall, so I can't order some really crazy kind of paraphernalia and stuff. But there's still the in-flight magazine, and I pulled out the in-flight magazine, and on the cover of the magazine, it has had this headline, Leaps of Faith. And I knew I was preparing for this morning, and so I was curious, Leaps of Faith, what is this major airline carrier, what do they think about when they say the words Leap of Faith? And on the cover of the magazine was Taylor Swift. I don't know if you know her. She's fairly popular, I think. Anyway, Taylor's on the cover of the magazine with the headline, Leaps of Faith. So I was curious, what's this magazine, what do they think of when they think about faith? And so as I kind of looked through the section on Leaps of Faith, I found out Leaps of Faith for them was just new adventures, trying something different, getting out there and experiencing new things and trying different foods and taking crazy kind of vacations. And in the interview with Taylor Swift, they were asking Taylor, because she's had this bold move from country. Now she's a pop singer. And I'm not sure that was really that bold. But anyway, I think people were still going to listen to Taylor Swift, whether she was pop or country. It doesn't really matter. Anyway, they asked her, they said, Taylor, this bold move that you've made from country to pop, is that out of confidence or is that out of faith? And she said, well, it's a little bit of both. I was like, oh, that's interesting. Because we have this word faith, right, that we talk about. When we come into a place like this, we talk about what faith is. But I wonder if we really understand what it means to walk by faith. When we're talking about faith apart from a biblical understanding, it's something, nothing more than wishful thinking or an open-ended thought of what might be. There's a prevailing thought about faith, and it's simply a firm, quote-unquote, firm belief in which there is no proof, or that the spiritual realm is so completely other that one must defy all logic and leap across the gap and trust that something rather than nothing is there. This is the world's definition of leaps of faith. There's really no logic to it. I'm going to defy that and I'm going to jump across. It's really irrational to do that. But this morning, we want to see that our walk by faith is not blind leaps. It's not defying logic, but rather biblical faith is very rational. And in its simplest terms, says, I am trusting God. So Romans chapter 4, stand as we read, beginning with verse 1 of Romans chapter 4. What then can we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, has found? If Abraham was justified by works, then he has something to brag about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him for righteousness. If you jump over to verse 16, it says, this is why the promise is by faith, so that it may be according to grace, to guarantee it to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of Abraham's faith. He is the father of us all, in God's sight. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. He believed in God, who gives life to the dead and calls things into existence that do not exist. Against hope, with hope, he believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what had been spoken. So will your descendants be. He considered his own body to be already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb without weakening in the faith, he did not waver in unbelief at God's promise, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God because he was fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Therefore, it was credited to him for righteousness. Now it was credited to him was not written for Abraham alone, but also for us. It will be credited to us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Let's pray. Father God, it is your word. It is true and it is holy. It is right and it is just. Father, our faith today is challenged. Our belief in you is challenged. This morning, may we have courage to walk by faith. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So last week, Pastor Phil was talking about faith as part of the courage to believe the good news. And how faith brings us into right relationship with God. So faith is this key component, this key element of our relationship with God. And so if that's the case, then how do I begin to walk by faith? We looked at these passages last week in Romans chapter 1, this first chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans. And Paul writes, "The righteous will live by faith." And again in Romans 3:22, he says, "The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe." So this component of faith is critical to our walk. And how we walk by faith is crucial to how we live and interact with the world around us. And so in chapter 4, Paul goes back. He's talking to a group of people who look at this idea of walking by faith and they say, "Man, this is a really new concept. We're not really sure what you mean when you're talking about faith and walking by faith. And this is new to us." And Paul says, "No, it's not. It's not all that new. Because if we look back at Abraham and we look back at his life, we can see that his life was a walk by faith." Remember Abraham, you know him, right? He's the father, right? He's the father of many nations. You know him, right? You sing the song about him, right? You, "Father Abraham had many..." Maybe they didn't. I'm not sure. Maybe they didn't have the song yet. But we do, so we get to sing it. Right arm, left arm. Anyway, Paul says, you know him. Just as we would point back to a historical figure and say, "Here's this individual. Let's point to him so we can illustrate where we're coming from." Paul does the same thing in pointing back to Abraham. And the story of Abraham is truly a testimony of a walk by faith. So let me give you four things this morning and how we can have courage to walk by faith. First of all, it begins with believing God. Verse 3 of chapter 4 again says this, "For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God." In order to walk by faith, God must become the object of my faith. When I was learning to ride my bike, the object of my faith was my dad. I believe that my dad had my best interest in heart when I was learning to ride a bike. He would hold on to the back of that banana seat. Wait, the younger kids, they don't know what a banana seat is. Anyway, he would hold on to that back of that banana seat, and he would hold on to it. And I believe that my dad had my best interests in mind. And so my faith in riding my bike was in my dad. I have faith that this year, the Chicago Cubs will win the World Series. Because Back to the Future 2 told me so. And just a side note, as we're getting to know each other, because I'm new here, and as we get to know each other, whenever I mention Chicago Cubs, because it'll be frequent, you just replace Seattle Mariners, okay? And then we'll be all right. We'll be on the same page, and that goes. When it comes to my faith, my walk by faith, God must become the object of my faith. I believe in things about God. There are things that as I look into the Word, as I look into God's Word, they tell me a lot of things about God. They share with me His character and who He is, His love and His compassion and His grace and His mercy. And I have a lot of classes and a lot of study and a lot of head knowledge that goes along with that. And so I believe, like many of you, I believe a lot of things about God. But when it comes to walking by faith, we're not talking about the things that I believe about God. Because there are a lot of people in the world that believe there is a God. He may look different, maybe just a little bit on the other side of what we would say, but they believe God. They believe that there is a God. I'm not talking about believe about God. I'm talking about trusting God. I'm talking about believing God as reliable, that He is just, He is right. He is this God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that He is the God who formed the world that we live in, that formed us from nothing and breathed life into us. This is the God that I believe, that I know is reliable, who is trustworthy. The disciples in John chapter 6 were walking with Jesus one day, and they had a question for Jesus, and this was their question. They said, "What can we do to perform the works of God?" Great question. What can we do to perform the works of God? They've been watching Jesus. They've been seeing what's going on. They're like, man, we want to get on that, in on that action as well, right? What can we do? And here's Jesus' reply in John chapter 6, verse 26. "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one He has sent." That's it. Plain and simple. Believe God. We can be duped into believing a lot of things in this world, right? Scan your social media, watch your Facebook page, see the promotions that come up, see the different news stories that come up, and you can be duped into believing a lot of things. You can talk to people, and they will try to convince you to believe in a lot of different things. The world is convinced that they know the truth and they're willing to share that with you. And so believe us. Don't believe some old dusty book full of stories. Don't believe in a God who created the heavens and the earth. You would be a fool to put your trust in that. You'd be silly to believe in the words of this book. I get it. We're more independent, we're more self-sufficient, we're more compartmentalized than ever before. We don't need to believe God. We can do it. We live in a country that's built on that mentality. Just do it. If you can do it, get on it. Make it happen. I understand that. But the courage to walk by faith says, I believe God. He can do it. He is trustworthy. Real faith moves from belief in what is true about God to a trusting intimacy with God. We have to move in our faith. It doesn't mean removing knowledge about God, but allowing that knowledge to fuel our trust and faith in God. Consider the life and the faith journey of Abraham. Let me paraphrase it for you in the Matthew Houston Cliff Notes version. Here's the faith journey of Abraham. He was called out by God from among his people. He's living a very comfortable life. Living life, enjoying his family, and God calls him out. He followed God's lead about a future homeland. God said, "Abraham, I want you to go." "Go where?" "To a place where I'll show you." "Great, let's do it." He was given a promise from God. He laughed at God. He tried to circumvent God's plan. He watched years go by before seeing God's promise of a child fulfilled. He had marital strife because of poor choices. He embraced God's plan, even when it was going to cost him his son. And Paul, and the scripture tells us, he lived by faith. He believed God. For Abraham, God was reliable. Hebrews 11:6 says, "Now without faith it is impossible to please God. For the one who draws near to him must believe that he exists and rewards those who seek him." Do you believe God? Is he reliable? Have you moved from belief about God to believing God? A.W. Tozer said this about our faith in God. Faith in God, not in any God, not in religion, but faith in the sovereign God who made heaven and earth, who judges among the gods, and whose throne is justice and judgment, and who will require men's deeds. That's the God we must believe in. Believing in God is where it begins. But then I have to have the courage to walk by faith, and that means trusting God's word. In verse 13, it says, "For the promise to Abraham or to his descendants that he would inherit the world was not through the law, but through the righteousness that comes by faith." And in verse 20, it says, "He did not waver in unbelief at God's promise, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, because he was fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform." Courage to walk by faith means trusting God's word. George Mueller, who was an evangelist and director of Ashley Down Orphanage in the 1800s, he was a man who exemplified faith by trusting God with his orphanage. Every day he prayed. He prayed that God would provide for his orphanage. He never went out and solicited for money, never asked people to support the orphanage. He just prayed, and he trusted God's word and his promises. And time and time again, George would open the door to the orphanage, and there would be somebody who had been knocking, and they would hand him money. And George would say, "Thanks be to God for his provision." He said this about faith. "Faith is the assurance that the thing which God has said in his word is true, and that that God will act according to what he has said in his word. Faith is not a matter of impressions, not of probabilities, nor of appearances." Faith means trusting God's word. When God called Abraham out from his people to go to a land that God would show him, Abraham only had the word of God to rely on. Abraham lived in a culture where there were lots and lots of voices speaking around them, pagan voices speaking into his life. And here, as we're told in Scripture, he listens to God. To walk by faith is trusting God's word. There was an old commercial back in the day for E.F. Hutton. E.F. Hutton was a financial consulting firm, and in those commercials, people would be in different situations. One of them, they were in an airport, and two guys are talking about their finances and how they do, and he says something about E.F. Hutton, and everybody in the airport gets quiet and bends an ear to hear who he's talking about, because the tagline was, "When E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen." No disrespect to E.F. Hutton. I'm sure he was a great guy. But the one voice that we need to trust, the one word that we need to trust, when he speaks, we need to listen, and that is the words that God speaks into our lives. We need to trust those words. I need to trust his words. Like Abraham, those voices are attempting to pull me away and move me in different places. I was talking with the kids as we watched the tightrope walking and the crowds cheering and the people are screaming and they're hollering. And he says, "Please be quiet. I need to hear my dad." We need to calm, quiet those voices that speak into our worlds, because they're trying to speak quote unquote truths into our lives, but they're not. They're human wisdom. We went out to eat, our family did last night, and we were at a restaurant, and we get, you know, those nice cookies that have little pieces of paper inside of them. And they told my son's cookie told him that he was going to be involved in some great humanitarian efforts soon. All right, awesome. Mine said that I was going to get great wisdom from the next movie that I watched. So we'll see what Frozen shares with me. I don't know. I will let it go eventually. Lots of things in our world that are speaking into us that want to pull us away from believing in God, trusting His word. Proverbs 3:5 says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Don't allow God's word to get drowned out in the midst of this world. Allow it to speak loud and clear into your life. Trust it, because as we trust God, we're able to walk by faith with such courage and confidence because we're trusting in His word. Again, the promise that God had given Abraham. He was asked to leave his home. Abraham says, okay, I'll go with it and trust you know what you're talking about. I'll give you a son, Abraham. Okay, my wife and I are pretty old. We're way past having kids. But if that's your promise to me, then I know you have a better plan for me. Show your trust in my word by offering your son to me. And Abraham says, okay, Lord, I'll trust your word. I don't know if you know this or not, but God's word is true. It can be trusted. There are people that will question that fact. Our world will question that fact. But I'm here to tell you, God's word is something spectacular. It should provide a confidence and a courage to your life walked in faith. Listen to these passages. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living, enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Psalm 119:89. I'm sure there were times when Abraham failed to see what God was up to. In fact, I know he did. Had trouble seeing the big picture of God's plan for his life. And yet through it all, Abraham continually learned to trust God's word. You and I continually learn to trust God's word. Just like getting on that tightrope just doesn't happen. I need to take some steps. And as I take those steps, each step is another avenue for me to learn to trust God and trust His word. I don't either see the big picture all the time, but I do know that my God is trustworthy. When He speaks, I may laugh. I may scoff. I may think, God, are you really sure about that? And when we trust His word, the ability to walk by faith with courage only increases. So I believe God, I trust God, and then I endure with God. Look what it says in verse 19 again. He considered his own body to be already dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb without weakening in the faith. He did not waver in unbelief at God's promise, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. Did you know that even when following Christ, life continues to happen? I don't know if you knew that. But just because I become a Christ follower doesn't mean I start to walk around in this protective bubble or this force field or, you know, those old impression paintings of the halo around my head that gives this sense that I'm impenetrable, that life can no longer get at me. This is not true. As Christ followers, life continues to happen. We live in a fallen world, and things continue to bombard us. Circumstances happen. Challenges come into play. We have choices that we make that aren't always in line with what God would have us to do. And so sometimes those circumstances challenge my faith. The disciple Thomas had doubts. Doesn't say anything about his faith. Just said that he doubted. Don't give him a bad rap. He's okay. He's not like, unlike any of us who have had doubts at times. Peter steps out on the water, right? Going great, looking good, and then he doubts the fact that he'll continue on towards Jesus. Had some doubts. It's going to happen. We all have doubts. We have fears. We have concerns associated with those things that are happening in our lives. It's natural in our journey as Christ followers. When you look at the life of Abraham and his wife Sarah, you have these instances of what Chuck Swindoll calls wobbly-legged faith. I love it. I love it. It's a great picture. He says this, God looked not so much at their faltering growth, but at their ultimate destination. From our perspective, they wavered a lot along the way. The Lord looks instead upon the fact that they arrived despite the presence of natural hindrances. They endured with God. That's key. If I want to endure this life on my own, good luck. Life is going to throw a bunch of things at me, and if I don't have God, if I'm not enduring with Him, I'm going to be crushed. I'm going to be taken under. I'm going to be like Peter, and those waves are going to just envelop me, and I'm not sure where my salvation is going to come. I can try to do that, or I can have courage to walk by faith by enduring those things with God. My faith may be wobbly-legged. Okay, it's great. Did Abraham and Sarah act according to their flesh from time to time? Yes. Was the father of many nations persuaded to take matters into his own hands? Yes. Did they doubt? Did they laugh at God? Sure. However, here again, Paul says, Abraham's faith endured. His faith in the promises of God. Remember the second point, trust God's word. Abraham had the promises of God, and he's trusting in those things. So he's able to endure with God because of those promises, through the trials, through the poor choices, through the moments of doubts and uncertainty. Abraham's faith was strengthened rather than weakened. Our minds are weak, aren't they? Our hearts at times can become divided. But what must remain trained on God and no other is our faith in the one who knows us intimately. Miles Stanford wrote this about faith. God delights. I love that word. Do a word study on delight as you see it in Scripture. Find out what that really means and what God's talking about there. God delights to increase the faith of his children. I say, and say it deliberately, trials, obstacles, difficulties, and sometimes defeats are the very food of faith. God wants not harm. He wants good of your growth, of your faith. He wants to see that grow. And so those circumstances of life, though they are testing and trying and they are difficult and they are hard to manage through, we must endure with God. Because God wants to grow you. He wants to take those experiences. He wants to take those things and he wants to grow your faith. So it's not just little baby kind of steps, but it's a faith that can step out and say, oh, you want me to go to a land where you'll show me? Okay. You want me to trust you with a son that's to come that I'm not really sure how that's going to happen? Do you want me to trust you beyond that and to the place of sacrificing that son? Those steps of faith, God wants to increase that faith in your life. And sometimes that happens through these circumstances and challenges that come. Fear and doubt can drive you and I away from God, but instead allow it to draw you closer to God. Romans 15:4 reminds us, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. Apart from Christ, you have no hope. But with Christ, you can endure. You can walk with courage through those things. Find courage to walk by faith and to endure with God. God will begin to expand and grow in you in ways you may not truly understand in the present, but in time will come to realize. And this brings us to the last thing. Walking by faith means understanding the grace of God. Look what it says at the end of chapter 4. but also for us. It will be credit to us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Paul ties all of Abraham's story back to us. He says, here's Abraham, and because of Abraham's faith, now look at you and I. Look at where we are. And he ties it back to us, that we might fully grasp that our identity as Christ followers stems from the amazing grace of God. This walk of faith that I travel is not something that I deserve. Huh, I don't deserve it. I don't know how I got to this place. It's not something that I could ever earn. It's only because of God's love for me and the grace he extended to me that I can even begin to walk with him day by day. I've loved watching my kids learn how to walk. You maybe have had that experience as a parent as well. On the one side, I'm the encouraging dad. Go get them. Walk. Take a step. Every step is a great triumph. All those kind of things. I'm the really good dad. On the other side, I'm not so good. I'm the kid who's laughing every time they fall. I'm like, that's awesome. Love seeing them stumble. Love seeing that. Now, granted, that comes with bumps and bruises, right? But walking as a life skill, as it's something that we're able to do, takes steps. And as we learn to grow in faith, it requires me to take some of those steps in faith. I'm going to stumble. I'm going to fall. There are going to be those moments when I have these little steps that are success in my journey. And as we grow in that faith and we understand God's grace, there are times that when I fall, I look at myself and say, I don't want to get up. I've failed my Lord and Savior. I've failed. I've disappointed. I've hurt him in some way. And it's in those moments where I'm reminded that while I'm down, God's grace is sufficient for me. 1 Corinthians 12:9 says this, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon you. You have to know that you are neither the first nor the last who has a weakness. This is why we have to understand God's grace. If it was about what we did to perfection, we'd be doomed. If it was about our strength, then how then could God be glorified? We need to get over trying to be self-sufficient, of trying to maintain a picture and identity that is not reflective of who Christ is in our lives. Allow your weakness to be God's strength, to point you and others to the grace and love of God. I love verse 25. He was delivered for us. This is our God, who we believe, who we trust, who we endure with, and embrace his grace. I pray that you would have the courage to walk by faith. And as a church, we would have a courageous faith. This morning, as we get prepared for a time of communion, I want you to think about that last verse 25. He was delivered up for us, for our trespasses, and raised for our justification. This time of communion is a time to remember what Christ has done for us, not what we could do for ourselves, but what Christ has done for us. He offered himself as this perfect sacrifice. He went to the cross for us while we were still sinners. He loved us so much that he was willing to give his life for us. His body was broken and his blood spilled out so that we could know his love and his grace and his forgiveness. And so this morning, as a community, as we come to this time of communion, I want to pray for us, and then you come. Father God, it is your word that is to be trusted, that is to be true, and it is to revel in. Because apart from ourselves, we could do nothing. But because of your love, we can do the impossible. Father, may we know your grace. May we know your love this morning. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.